Hey guys, this is Christians in the Gritty. Life is hard.
And man, we've lived it.
We sure have. We are just two sisters doing our best to please God through it all.
And having fun doing it.
Woo!
So we just had our marriage retreat last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What did you, like, how do you feel being home?
Oh, I'm glad to have my bed.
Yeah, me
beds
too.
Beds are small. It was like glamping in a not high-tech hotel.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, I like that it's like a hotel room.
Me too. So. I do like that. We left our door open the whole time, though, since it was just us on that entire floor.
Oh, did you?
I never locked it. I'm like, I'm not carrying around a key. And we got put a lot of work in, so I came home very tired.
Yes.
But it was fun.
And you had a busy day when you came home.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Mark and I were exhausted, and we sat on the couch, and I kept... He went and took a nap. I was falling asleep on the couch all evening long. I was exhausted.
I actually was to a point of breaking when we came home, and we had to set through a band concert. And then immediately after, like, not immediately after, but like a half an hour later, we had to do the choir concert and set in there. And then I had to go get my kids from the grandma's because I hadn't even gotten them yet. So, yeah, I was very exhausted by the time I was done.
But let me tell you, though, when I got home, is we didn't take our vehicle. We rode with Melissa and Brandon. So the kids locked us out of the house.
And I had to hurry up and get to the concerts. And so we just left them on their porch with all their stuff and drove away. But
Which
we knew they were getting somebody to come and unlock it.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Christians in the Gritty.
I'm Christina.
And this is Melissa.
But anyway, so that was our little after marriage retreat adventure.
Yeah. So some of the things we talked about there, well, let's just start with the fact that the whole marriage retreat, their theme was just keep running. It was like a marathon type thing, running the race and all that.
Yeah. So based off of Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll just read the beginning of that. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And she also added in verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because you have to keep, you know, your heart in that positive thinking.
That is amazing. That definitely needed added on.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved, like, the whole theme. Mm-hmm. And Jackie and Mickey, they do such a great job.
Jackie's so good with all the crafts and stuff. She really makes you feel special, like, with all that stuff. I think it's really cute. And I keep the things she makes, mostly.
I do, too.
Not every little thing.
I think I might put it in a shadow box.
That's cute. I put it in my armoire type thing. Or what is that called? Curio cabinet thingy.
Curio.
A lot of the other things, like the pictures and stuff. And last year's Not Today Satan thing.
Yeah.
I put all those in there.
Not today.
It's just a cute reminder of, like, the fact that we have to fight for our marriage and keep the enemy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to get lost in what the secular view of marriages and how much we're owed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like it, then they can just leave, kind of an attitude.
Yeah. And what you said, how much we're owed. That's so true. And that's like a way to put it. Kind of like, I always say this, stabs me in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a weird phrase, but I say it a lot. But seriously, that's so true. It's very convicting.
Mm-hmm.
I always want things to be my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm at fault a lot.
Yeah.
And with my thoughts, I definitely am. And that goes along with Alexis's words of encouragement, too, is I come into it with such a negative view, like attitude.
Yeah, I've been praying a lot lately about, okay, these thoughts that I'm having, God, just take them away from me. I can't handle them right now. I need you to take them away and get these negative thoughts. If any of you are wondering what Alexis's words of encouragement are, if you haven't seen, we do TikToks and Reels. So you can find us there and watch those little TikToks and Reels. And we reveal, you can know more what it's about there. But it's basically words of encouragement from a listener.
Yeah.
And so you can find those there. Yeah. Some of the things that Jackie had put on our paper for that day of the scripture that you just read was perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure or opposition, and course correction, make adjustments to move forward in the right direction. So some of the questions she had wrote was, what do you need to rid yourself of to run the race marked out before you?
Mm.
Which I think was very, she talked about throwing it off.
Yeah.
Like, don't just put it aside, the thing that is getting in your way of your marriage or keeping you from being happy in your marriage or whatever, your obstacle. You throw it off.
Yeah.
Throw it away from you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, gets you thinking more like how important it is to get it away from you.
It's an urgency.
Yeah. Like, get that away from me right now before it does damage.
Because
they talked about that a lot, too, in the marriage retreat. Because, like, once you have that trauma or something or the obstacle, if you let it, like, get in the way of your race, then it causes damage. Like, think about a hurdle that you trip over. You might sprain your ankle or something when it comes to the race kind of mentality or thought point.
Yeah.
So think of that in your marriage. Like, now you created a trauma that now you carry with you.
Yeah. And it reminds me, too, of Pastor Tony talking about when he's mowing the yard and he has to move the stick out of the way, right? He's not, he shouldn't just be picking it up and just throwing it one lane over where he's going to have to come back and pick it up again.
Oh, like, yeah, that's true.
You need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You're get not, it out of the way.
You're not just putting it to the point where you're going to have to keep moving it.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of it completely so it's not continually an issue in your marriage.
Take it to the burn pile.
Yeah. Take it to God, in other words, and let God burn it up.
Yeah. So I like those little analogies or whatever.
Yeah.
And then what is Ephesians 6:15 that Jackie had in there?
Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Okay. I remember her saying she liked how it said, because your feet are related to the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
And we're doing just
well, because
running.
You have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready to move.
Yeah.
So you have to always have your, like, sneakers on. In other words, like, you have to be ready for the gospel of peace. So that means in your marriage, that means all for all your life, everything going on in your life, you know? And so it's like, what things are going to keep you from being able to share the gospel in both your marriage and in your life?
Yeah.
And to your fellow mankind. And so it's like, what do we need to do to be ready?
Yeah. And this I wrote down, I think Jackie said this, the things opposite of God's peace cause us to stay still. So, and then I added on, just thinking of when we were talking at church about growing stagnant, right? No growth, being complacent. We talked about that in Zephaniah, didn't we? Becoming complacent.
Yes.
And so, yeah,
it's we don't like want to stay people say, still. Oh, well, they let themselves go because they stop caring what their husband thinks or whatever, which I think isn't true. Sometimes you just, your body's old. It's just harder to take care of it.
But we don't want to stay still in our faith either.
No.
So, and that is like the gospel of peace being our feet, you know? Just thinking of how you said you know, have your sneakers on, be ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's like always be moving, yeah. right? Always growing.
Yeah.
Don't grow stagnant and complacent.
And another thing that, okay, say you're arriving somewhere or you guys are all frustrated with each other and you get out of the car and someone in the neighborhood hears you guys bickering and fighting and all this and they know you're Christian. Mm-hmm. It's like, what does that, basically saying a Christian marriage should be more attractive to a person than a not a Christian marriage. And is our marriages that way?
Yes.
Like, I feel like a lot of times people would not look at my marriage and be like, yep, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get frustrated and stuff and like bicker or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know the insides and outs and other people don't. So I don't know if that's true or not. But like, yeah, it's like there needs to be a reflection of what God people live like is what my notes said. You know, like our marriage needs to reflect that. Just like the way we behave in public reflects the fact that we're Christians. And we've talked about that many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so should our marriage. Our marriage should be that they say, wow, look at them. How do they get through this?
Yeah. And it wasn't Jackie talking about that, too.
That's Jackie. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I loved when Mick got up there and was talking and just talking about life as a couple and having kids, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was nervous, but like when he was talking, I was like, yes.
I know. If if Jackie or Mick are ever listening to this, like seriously, Mick, you did great. And I totally wanted to hear what you had to say. So I know it's nerve-wracking because we get that way too.
Oh, yeah.
It might not seem like it because we have a podcast, but it's easy to talk into a speaker.
Yes. When nobody's actually looking at you.
Yeah, exactly. But so, yeah, so we get it. We get it. But you did great.
No, I loved it. And I talked even to Mark about it after. I was like, I'm so glad he talked.
Yeah.
But the other thing, I guess just going back to Jackie's talk, I wrote down, when we go off course, we come into situations that we were never meant to be in.
Mm.
And that's one thing that I try to bring to the kids, too, is like, when you're obedient with God, your path is so much cleaner.
Yeah, you don't have all that trauma and baggage.
Yes.
And like I wrote down from that spot of what she was talking about, we get distracted and go off course and we forget. We forget what we are here for. Yeah. We forget that we're, you know, here to become one with this person and that the worldly things don't matter. And it's just really easy to do as humans.
Yeah.
But then.
And too, like, this might be veering off a little bit again, but those things that we used to think was cute, they were cute. Before, when our spouse didn't, like, before we were married, when we started dating, like, some of the things Mark does, I'm like, why are you doing that? But I didn't think it was a big deal at all when we were dating, you know? Yeah. Even, like, when we started living together out of wedlock, which is a whole nother thing, like, I think we've talked about before, it just puts a wedge in a lot of stuff. So going back to that thing, when we go off course, we come into situations we were never meant to be in. That's so true.
Yeah, like having babies out of wedlock, like both of us did.
But just things.
And then rushing a marriage.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's things that I did that he thought was cute and he doesn't think's cute anymore.
Oh, I guarantee that's the case with my husband.
So, but we got to remember, like, we were okay with it then.
But, you know, I have an insight and I don't remember where I got the thought process from exactly. Is why is it so, as a lot of couples, once they get married, their sex life, like, falls back. Couples that are out of having relations out of wedlock, because you don't have the devil talking in your ear to do it anymore, because it's completely lawful now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have sex with your husband. It's okay to want him.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so you don't have that temptation isn't part of it. The devil's not going, hey. See him? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then I think it's also the case where those little things don't bother you because the devil's not in your ear saying, doesn't that bother you? because he wants you to want him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the devil's not going, hey, did you know that he keeps doing that? And a lot of that's in our human nature anyway. Yeah. Some of this stuff is not the devil talking to your ear. And I think Jackie did mention that too. Some of that's just our human sin nature.
Yeah.
And us just getting annoyed like we would from anyone we've known for a long time.
We talked about that too.
Yes.
Yeah. It seems to be coming up a lot, I feel like, for us is we can't always give so much credit to the devil. Like, he's not that powerful, okay? He's not more powerful than God. And we have to say that our temptation a lot comes from the flesh and our sinful nature as human beings.
Yeah. Which originally came from the devil tempting us. But we still, it was our flesh nature to want to follow him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more in step with the flesh that we are, the less the devil needs to be there speaking at us.
Yeah. And the thing is when we are more on the opposite side of that, when we're more aligned into God's will, it's easier to see the devil or whatever and those temptations coming at us and to be able to defer from them.
Yeah.
Because when you, because like it's easy for you to get into negative thoughts, what we've been talking about. But when you get into the Bible, it like realigns your course. And that's a lot of what it's talking about. Like keeping your focus on God and Jesus and keeping your marriage centered in that keeps you on course. Like that's how you keep on course, is to be obedient to God and always looking to the Word. Because you can be watching Christian movies, you can be talking about God with your friends, you could go to church, hear a little bit about the gospel there, but if you're not listening or looking at the Word of God every day, you're not, it's like, okay, I'm only going to take my medicine once a week, and I'm going to micro dose part of the week. Do you think that whatever thing that you have is going to stay controlled? No.
Right. And that reminds me of what the youth just talked about at church was working out your salvation, right? So that's in Philippians 2. So Philippians 2, it would be verses 12 through 13. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose. So they were talking a lot about working out your salvation. So when we're working out our salvation, I mean, that's after we're saved, we're always working out our salvation. Are you growing in your faith? Are you growing closer to God? Are you trying to live like Jesus every day? And I mean, that's what we really need to do in our marriages. And so it made me think too that, like what Melissa was talking about, what is our goal? What is our finish line?
Yeah.
And we talked about that at a marriage retreat. So our finish line is Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
To always keep him in focus. So.
And his will for us is not to get divorced, not to go astray, not to... I'm going to read some scripture that is from Jesus. So this is in Matthew 19, 3 through 9. Some Pharisees approached him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife on any grounds? Haven't you read, he replied, that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female. And he also said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked him, did Moses command us to give divorce papers and to send her away? He told them, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of the hardness of your hearts, but it was not like that from the beginning. I tell you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Which we all know in the Bible or in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm. And that is like so stressful to hear in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of us have been divorced and it was different situation.
I kind of think he was cheating and probably yours too.
Yeah.
Well, but we don't have proof of that.
Well,
I don't.
But anyway, when it says their hearts were hardened, that's why I allowed it. Man.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean both sides of the heart, like both parties' heart was hardened.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still hard.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have to try everything, try our best to keep our marriage together.
And I know some Christian marriages that did. Doesn't mean you have to divorce them. And I know this is not a thing that they had to realign their marriage, go through a lot of counseling, and very much this one person really had to work on forgiving and trusting again, because that's very hard. That's like one of the hardest things to ever forgive and trust again, because like it is so intimate. It's God said that once you have relations with another person, you become one with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why it also you can carry that with you because all the people that you, ex-husbands, sex before marriage relationships you had come with you to your marriage. And so that's why that's so important. And trust me, it does leave a lot of like a wake in your steps, but.
And that's something you really have to forgive yourself for, too.
Yeah.
First, I feel like.
And they had a lot of work, and they saved their marriage. But, I mean, he had to put in the work for himself, not her making him do it. Like, he's the one that admitted to it, came to his pastor and said, I did this, and I don't know what to do. And his pastor led him through it. That's, I think, why it worked.
And what a good pastor.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it makes me want to cry. It's not even my thing. But yeah, it's like, okay, I get that this happened and we are human. And she did not have to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. And I'm not telling you one way or another. It literally says in the Bible, you can leave if that's something that you can't handle. But I don't know that that will solve your problems and your issue. I don't know that that will cure or heal you.
Yeah. And I know, like, I carry that with me from my first marriage into now. But it's like we just have to seek God and realize that that's the most important relationship of all.
And the fact that he was doing that in his marriage. And they weren't just like, okay, I forgive you. No, it was a long road. Mm-hmm. It was a long road, but they decided to stay with it.
I'm sure it's a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you were saying, like that's when Satan's like, hey, remember that thing? So you really, truly have to give that forgiveness. And sometimes I think we have to give that forgiveness more, like multiple times.
Yeah.
Like when it starts creeping back in.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if we truly have forgiven, maybe we don't have to keep doing that.
Well, I think there's different levels is forgiving and forgiving completely and forgiving and forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's amazing that we have a God who does forget when we ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. So, yeah, Pastor Rob did speak on having a faith you can run with. It was in Hebrews 11. He did the whole chapter. We've read this before because I remember struggling through reading this one time about our inner obedience one. Because you know how long I re-edited this, me saying, now faith is the...
We were so scared to talk in front of the speaker.
Let's see how I do this time. Okay, so it is Hebrews 11 in verse 1, and then I'll just continue till I stop. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead.
Okay, I want to say about that, because I read this chapter a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I have underlines all over here in Hebrews, and I hadn't underlined this in my Bible in verse 4, when it says, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead.
That's a testimony.
Now, yeah, that's the legacy you leave behind. Yes. It's not about yourself, but Abel still speaks of his faith because that is glorifying God.
And I think we could honestly leave it there and have people read the rest of Hebrews on their own, the Hebrews 11 on their own, because we could go into this. This is what Pastor I was getting at. Our marriage and our relationship with our husband is what can heal generations.
I loved it when he said that. Upon generations.
Upon generations. Because they see what a marriage is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was convicting. I tell you what.
It was.
So it was like very convicting. Like, we have to be careful. Like, I personally will fight a lot with my husband in front of the kids. Because I get so frustrated, I like boil over.
Yeah.
And then it comes out. I'm trying not to let it come. I feel like we need like a signal, like stop talking, so that way I don't boil over in front of the kids. Like, that's enough.
We're making our own motions right now.
Yeah. Like, don't do that. We're done. And we can't talk. We just stop what you're doing because I don't want to fight with you in front of the kids. Like, some kind of. That's a good idea. I'm gonna write that down.
Maybe we should make something funny so our kids think we're being funny. I think, okay, but I will say, I think it is good for your kids to see some disagreements, but in a healthier way.
Yes.
So that way they know that everything's not perfect. I don't want my kids to look at Mark and I and go, oh, look, they never fought.
And
look
then when they start fighting with their spouse, they say, oh, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
They need to be able to see you go through conflict
and work it
healthy
out.
Yes. Ways, looking to God in your conflict. So maybe what we should do instead of fighting is just drop to our knees and start praying.
Ugh, that would be a statement, huh?
It makes me cry because it's like, imagine your kids seeing that and going, wow.
Look at my parents right now.
Yeah, like that's what I want to be.
And those are the kind of things where I think those moments, like when we get proud of someone, that should be the moments you're proud of, not earthly, worldly things. And
and pride's probably not even the right word, honestly.
But I mean, really, I don't know where the verse is recently that I ran across, because I always think that is having pride a sin? Well, I think it only depends on what the pride is for.
If it's for glory to
it's
God.
Glory to God.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did see a verse, but maybe if one of you listeners know what I'm talking about, let me know and we can post it, but or I can look for it later. But it was I think it was Paul saying he was proud of one of the churches.
I just ran across some scripture. It's in Hebrews 10, actually, 23. I'll just say 23 to 28. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. So why I read that is because you can also relate this in marriage. We need to be encouraging each other. Like when we say, I feel convicted to stop fighting so much in front of the kids. I mean, we're always together and the kids are always here. So it's like, mm-hmm. what do we do? Where do we go? How do we solve it then? We go into another room and they just follow us. Like, I mean, I know where the parents are supposed to stop them, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
and it just adds to frustration.
Yeah. So it's just hard. And this just reminds me, like, maybe stopping and praying is it. At least to give us a little anger break.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't exactly answer our problem, that prayer, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is no answer to our problem right there with that prayer.
Yeah.
At least we get that break.
Yeah.
And because this is what I'm saying, like, and to let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Mm-hmm. Like, of all people to stir up to love, it should be our spouse.
Yeah. And so my version says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. So anyway, I like that when it says spur as mm-hmm. well. And I think they talked about this verse at youth group too. When you think of spur, like the spur on your boot,
mm-hmm.
it's making, you know, something move and go. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think we also can't miss the fact that it says, and continue to meet together. If we bring that into marriage, like, yeah, continue to meet together. We need to go to church and be accountable and all that. But like my husband was like, when are we going to go on a date?
Mm.
Like, when are we going to have time? Like, we just need to make that time
yeah.
and get together. And I, like, Tony was talking about at the marriage retreat is don't go to a movie that is like violence and all these things. Mm-hmm. Go and do something godly like the marriage retreat.
Yeah. And I think it's awesome. Go to something you can talk to each other during.
Yeah. Mark go to something that's going to work on your marriage.
Yeah. We've never been ones to go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
I hardly ever go to the movies. Like, I did it when I was a kid, but that was with my friends and stuff. But I do think it's important to be able to have conversation. And I will admit, sometimes we go out to eat and we're like, I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's, once you have kids, it's so hard.
I feel like we need to come up with date nights for mm-hmm. this area where either it is based around God.
Yeah.
Hey, if anyone's listening, I have a new ministry for you.
I hope people are listening.
Okay, that person was thinking about doing a ministry with couples. This is your confirmation. Do it. So we have a place to go for date night.
Yeah, we don't know who you are, but Melissa just figured it out that someone needs a confirmation.
I'm hoping anyways, because I need a date night that's involved around God.
Someone somewhere is going to hear that.
Because I think a lot of times we do our date nights, and my husband especially, because he's a man, he thinks of romance. How am I going to woo her? Or, hey, honey, you know, I don't want that. I want our relationship. That's not focusing on God. And I just am figuring out, I think that's what, one of the reasons I put up a wall is because I've had so much hurt there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't deliberately hurt me through, you know, our romance side of things, but I've lost 4 babies with him and I don't want that hurt anymore. And I'm very busy. I'm very stressed out and I do not feel like I'm supposed to have birth control because that's not like, I don't want a fertilized egg to not be able to implant. To me, that's not right. Christian. But so I'm like, it's somewhere in between of, you know, meeting your husband's needs, not getting hurt anymore, and not killing babies.
Like, yeah. It's like, it just makes me, and it keeps coming to mind as you're talking about different things. This question in one of our breakouts about endurance in our marriage, what are some obstacles in your marriage and life that are hindering you from running the race? And Mark and I figured out that no matter what we wrote there, the main thing was communication.
Wow.
And so all of it, all of those issues and those obstacles that we have will stem from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes me emotional because we struggle with it so bad. And it started out as, ugh, I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's always, I've always been like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to speak what issues I'm having right now because I'm not going to hurt somebody else's feelings. I'll just suffer with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or so, I don't want to make it worse.
Mm-hmm. That too. So then it, so I urge you, especially in your beginning relationships, is to speak about everything immediately. Mm-hmm. Don't worry if like about being embarrassed. I mean, if this is a person you're married to, you shouldn't be embarrassed about like what you're talking about.
But we do get that way.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying too about what I was getting at real quickly is when we focus on that romance side instead of our relationship and putting God to the center, that romance will come.
Yeah, and that's why the communication is the top thing.
Yeah.
I mean, below putting God first, communication should be next, I feel like.
And they said that in there. We're not going to talk about communication. Even secular people know that. Communication is the most important. True.
And that's the thing that we don't focus on.
Yeah.
And so I say, which I'm advocating for counseling right now, whether it's marriage or individual, but in my individual counseling a while back, she said, make up dates. How often can you go on a date? Maybe do once a month. Set up 12 dates for the year and go on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to cost a lot of money or put it within whatever your family budget is.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you go. And you know what? If you don't talk the first few dates, I feel like eventually you're going to find things to talk about. The more you're doing it, the more natural I think it will feel.
Just like we were talking about a little bit with Mark having anxieties and still going to, ended up still going to men's group.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get used to it and it becomes not so scary.
Yeah, or like us recording this podcast.
It's not so scary now. I didn't read the one scripture like this.
I'm so glad we can laugh about it.
Oh,
but it's serious. Our nerves were so high.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just, like I was saying, once you get focusing on the relationship side more instead of there being so much pressure about the romance side, that's where the romance should come from. Then, like, before you're married, that romance side comes from, you know, the temptation of it and the lust of it. That's not where you should be in your marriage. You could find your husband attractive or whatever, but that's not where that becoming one flesh comes from God. He makes it be a enjoyable thing because we wouldn't do it and we wouldn't procreate, realign with God, realign with your relationship and let the rest fall in place.
You're so right.
In your marriage, even when you are trying to put God in the front and you love each other and everything, you are going to go through hard times. And, I'm going to read this scripture here from Hebrew 12. This is verse 7 through 11. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So I'm going to continue on to 12 to 13. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So when you're going through those hard times and stuff, remember, he's teaching you something, and or you're going through hard times because that's life. We weren't promised that we weren't going to go through trials. And, you know, there's the world isn't perfect anymore once sin came in here. And so he'll use those things to strengthen our character and for us to rely more on him. So our marriage needs to be centered in him.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you saying about the last thing you were talking about?
What I was just saying is what Pastor Rob was speaking on. Our faith in God determines our faith in each other. Mm-hmm. So always putting our faith in God first, and then faith in one another will come.
And that reminds me of another marriage retreat I was on that focused more on the vertical marriage, which is actually a book as well, and I'll link it in the bio. We cannot get what we need from each other. Me saying that means, okay, our hearts are yearning for that love that only God and Jesus can give us. And we often will try to fill it with things from this world, which includes our spouse. And that is just unrealistic. Like, I am not capable of filling that for my husband. And he needs to look to that from God. And same for me. I can't expect my husband to fill something that's for mm-hmm. God to fill.
Yeah.
And that our love and marriage should be a bonus mm-hmm. and not what is filling all of our worth and existence.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we are one flesh now, like even me as a single person, I need God above all else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to look for it. And that's where we need to find our love and a fulfillment from and our worth. Not from each other. And when we have those unrealistic expectations, it will completely destroy your marriage.
Yeah.
Little by little.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think, when I was going through my cancer and was like, I don't know if I'm going to live through this.
Mm-hmm.
That got me thinking more in the more recent past. Man, sometimes I forget what Mark and like you family mm-hmm. was going through too. Like, you kind of helped me realize that, like, you guys went through it too.
Yeah, but you didn't need to worry about that.
No, but I mean, it's good for me to realize now. But it just makes me think too, like, if something happened to one of us, like, people always say they would want you to be happy, like, they'd want you to find someone and be remarried. Well, if anything ever were to happen to Mark, I feel like I'm being called to stay single so I can focus on God more. That would be where I would feel called. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, because I've had to think about that a lot. Not had to, but man alive. When you think about your future and knowing that your husband might not be there,
mm-hmm.
it's hard. It's like, well, then what? I thought I was going to grow old with this person, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, so I'm going to be all by myself. And it's mm-hmm. like, do I even want to deal with another go through another marriage
yeah.
and
yeah.
but then when you're lonely, then you fall in temptation and stuff. So it's like, will mm-hmm. like, how am I going to go through that again and make sure it's the right thing?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, husband, for hearing that part of it, but it's just it's just the whole thing of like me asking God, preparing my brain and my mind for the fact that that might happen. And it's like, help guide me, because I totally will shut down, I think, and just mm-hmm. hide until I'm too lonely, and I don't want to come out into the world lonely, because that's just dangerous.
I feel like
some, it's going to be a long time.
Some of us need to focus on our faith. And that just goes to show in our marriages, we definitely should be focusing on God first.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's just a thought that came to my mind.
It was more my path personally than my marriage. It was more my path personally. Like, okay, God, I don't know if I could do that again. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. I'm going to feel like I'm going to shut down. And I just prepare my mind for that, because I don't know what you want from me.
I'm going to say if I were to pass away and Mark's still on this earth, my wish for him is not necessarily to be single or married.
Right. It's
my hope for you is to grow in Christ.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's what I'm doing, asking God about these situations, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like looking for his path for me.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, I look too much to the future than worrying about what's, and I'm realizing that
mm-hmm.
just deal with what's here for today and our path for today.
Yeah.
What do you want for me today, God?
Yeah.
But it's so human to look to the future when you know there's probabilities.
It just made me think of another thing that Pastor Rob said at the retreat. Believe in God for the small daily things, which leads to faith in the larger things.
And that's what we've talked a lot about mm-hmm. in the podcast, starting from, like, I don't know, maybe even the first episode, but the second episode, obedience is loving God.
Mm-hmm.
How, don't forget to pick up the taco shells, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Like how God had been training me in the little things.
Yeah.
Little by little, like pick up that $5.
Yeah.
Because I said so. Like,
right.
Pick up them taco shells because you're going to need them. Somebody at the
community
group wants them.
One that always sticks out for me is, God, I'm going to be late for this appointment. Can you please help me get this car seat out of this car?
Yeah.
And then I could get it out after struggling for a long time.
But it's like those little things that are small scale obedience, it's like it'll get you in the right mind to do it in the future.
I got this. Why I'm laughing is because I look down and here's the verse, Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Well, let's leave it at that, because isn't that the end all be all? Christina, would you want to pray?
Sure. Dear God, I just pray protection over our marriages. For all those listening, for all of us who were at the marriage retreat and all of those in our church and community, Lord, I pray that Satan has no power over us in our marriages, no power over our church family. I pray, Lord, that those we love, those that are near to us that are going through divorce right now, that you just protect them and lead them closer towards you. Lord, just heal those people, heal our marriages, and just help us to be good examples for our children and generations upon generations, Lord, that they are healed and not broken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lord, just help us to focus on our spouses and but put our first focus on you, and just to remember to put our spouse above our children, and just to show them what it means to be married and be one in you, Lord, and just guide us, teach us every day. And I guess just we pray for our kids, Lord, that they have godly spouses. I pray that for my kids often, and I pray that all my kids come to know you. And I pray that for all those listening.
Mm-hmm.
And just please be with us. Help us to take marriage seriously and to know that it's not just a paper, as some would say, but that this is a covenant with you. Please just be with everyone through the week until we come together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Christians in the Gritty.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Melissa.